And I remember Brother Linwood bringing this to us and listening to him tell the story of these three individuals which lived in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel, the third chapter, verses 23 through 25, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. In this story, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Babylon was a empire that was raised up. It was one of the first and the biggest and greatest empires, and God had made Babylon to come up so that he could pass judgment upon Israel and could take Israel out of their land for the sins that they had done. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and he was looked upon as being the golden head, as Daniel said in the vision that he saw of the man standing that was made out of the different minerals. So Babylon was a magnificent empire. It had stretched over an area that no other empire had ever stretched before. It was larger, richer, more stronger than any empire up to its day. It was included in one of the four powerful empires that was going to come and before and during the time of the kingdom of God when it would come to this earth. All those prophecies and things of empires began with this one. They had laid siege upon the northern tribes of Israel, and then years later had gone down into Jerusalem and defeated the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and had taken away the king of Judah into bondage. Many of the people that were in Israel at that time were taken into captivity over into the land of Babylon. Jeremiah had prophesied during this time, Isaiah had prophesied during this time, and several others as well of the prophets had prophesied during the time that Israel was going to be captured and taken out of their land. And it was told unto them that for 70 years they would not be allowed to return unto the land of Israel because of the wickedness that they had done. Jeremiah put it in this way. He once saw two bags of figs. One was a bag of figs that was good, and one was rotten. He says that the rotten figs represented those in Israel who were not good people, who had not done God's will, and they would be discarded just like a bag of rotten figs would be. But the good figs would be taken away. And so many of the people that went into Babylon were good people. They were people who believed in God, had faith in God. They were very intelligent. And God had raised them up into positions in the Babylonian Empire. They had fell into the grace of the king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he had put them into places over top of his people because of their wisdom and because of how they were. Three of these individuals were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had made them sort of like governors in the land of Babylon. They oversaw many of the affairs of the king and of the land itself. He had entrusted them, and they had shown him no reason not to. One day, Nebuchadnezzar decided that he would build a golden image. This image that he was going to build stood 90 feet tall, and it was made of gold. It was an image that was going to be of a god, one of the gods that Babylon had worshipped. Now, they believed in many gods and different gods, but this one particular one they were going to build an idol to would stand 90 feet tall. Nebuchadnezzar said he would call all of his people together, all of the governors, all of the wise men, everybody in the kingdom would come, and when they saw this tall statue standing out there made of gold, they would begin to sound the trumpets and the harps and all the instrumentation that they had, the musical instruments. And when they heard it, then they would all fall down and worship this golden idol and pay homage to the gods of Babylon. Anyone refusing to do this would be thrown into a fiery furnace. A furnace had been made, and perhaps for whatever reason, but it was awful large. It was big enough to throw men into. It was big enough to walk around in, according to what the story tells us. So the day came when they were all to gather around this golden idol, and the harps began to sound, and the trumpets began to blow, and people began to fall down and to worship this idol. But as they looked out there across the group and the sea of people that were standing before it, There were three men who did not bow down. They were still standing. And they were from Jerusalem. They were from Israel. And they were known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, it was brought to the king's attention that these three men did not bow down and worship his idol of gold. So they were to be cast into the fiery furnace. The king says, well, maybe they just didn't understand. So he calls them before him, and as they bring these three individuals before him, because remember, he thought enough of them to appoint them to very high positions in his kingdom. And as they stood before the king says to them, he reiterates the command that when they go before this idol, then when all the musical instruments begin to sound, you're to fall down and to worship this god made of gold and pay homage to all the gods of Babylon. And if you do not do this, then I will be forced to throw you into a fiery furnace. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the old king Nebuchadnezzar, they said, King, you can do with us as you please, but we're not going to bow down and worship your idol. We cannot. We worship one God and him alone, and that is our God, the Almighty. And regardless of what the king may do to us, we can do no other. And if our God sees fit to deliver us from the fiery furnace, then he does. If he sees fit not to and we are burned up, then we are. But we're still not going to fall down and worship your idol. Well, this infuriated Nebuchadnezzar to the point that he told him to make the fire seven times hotter than they had ever made it before. So in their haste to stoke the fire and to throw in whatever they were going to burn of rubble or wood, the fire was so hot and so consuming that it was actually coming out and bellowing out of the furnace. He had the strongest men of his army brought to him, and they grabbed these three men. They bound them hand and foot and over the head, and they threw them into the fire. It was so hot that the men that threw them into the furnace died from the heat that was coming out of it. Well, after a minute or two, Nebuchadnezzar, who can see into this fiery furnace from a safe distance, is looking in there, and to his astonishment, he sees something that he just can't believe his eyes. What he beholds is that there are four men walking around in this fire. He notices one. We threw them in, and they were all bound up. Did we not throw three men in that were bound up? He asked. And they said, yes, O king, we did. He says, well, I see four men loosed. Now notice this, they were loosed, and they were walking around in this fiery furnace. And one, he said, was like the Son of God. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, after looking in there for a while, he calls to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he asks them and bids them to come out of the fiery furnace. And they come out. The Bible says that there was not one hair upon their body singed. Their coats didn't even smell like smoke. There was no harm whatsoever had come to these men. You would have never known they had been anywhere near a fire. Well, you know, this astonished Nebuchadnezzar to the point that he realized there was indeed no other God like the God of Israel. He didn't accept the fact that the God of Israel was the only God, but he said he's the most high. In other words, he's more powerful than all the other gods. And he made a decree from that time on that if any man were to say anything against the God of Israel, that he would be immediately put to death. We learn many lessons from these three men and what they went through and what the endeavor was. One, it took a lot of faith for them to stand up to the old king. They were not disrespectful. They were not rude. They were not mean. They simply stood up to the king and said, no matter what you might do to us, we cannot worship your idol of gold. They stuck to what they believed in their heart. They stuck to their faith. Regardless of what the rest of the country did, and regardless of what everybody else did, they just didn't go along with the crowd. It would have been easy for them to have just fallen down and worshiped this idol, and no harm would have come to them. They'd have been put through no trial at all. But these three men believed in God, and they would not give in to worship the idol. Another thing that we learn from this is Nebuchadnezzar chose to force his religion upon all the people of the land. Well, it worked for most of his subjects, but to these subjects of Israel, it did not work. Religion was not something developed by God to be forced upon man, but that they would accept openly, willingly, and want to serve a loving God in the manner in which he wants to be served. There are many stories that we can get from this, but we want to look at a few of the things of the trials of fire that will happen not only to us, but have happened to other individuals as well. These three men going into a fiery furnace is no different than many of the trials that might happen to people in life. It was miraculous. I don't know if we've ever stopped to really give it a lot of thought or ponder upon it, but can you imagine three men bound, thrown into a fire, so hot that it killed the bears that threw them in, and yet they were able to walk around in it? They were able to come out, and there was nothing that happened to them? Do we know how many laws of physics and laws of science that breaks? It's like when Jesus walked on the water. Why, he broke so many laws of nature that it's impossible to man to ever think it could happen, but it's not impossible with God. It would be impossible for us to take someone and throw them into a fiery furnace and they not be consumed, but it is not impossible with God. It is recorded in Hebrews 11th chapter, verses 32 through 34, a reflection upon this event that took place. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. These are just a few of the things that Paul brings to our attention that was done by faith people in the Old Testament. In the 34th verse, you see where he says, they quenched the violence of fire. This refers to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that though they faced a death of fire, they would not bow down and worship a false god. They would not turn their back on the God of Israel. They would not turn away from the faith that they had within their hearts. Isaiah prophesied in the 43rd chapter, verses 1 and 2, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now naturally, this is a prophecy that deals with mankind coming to God and living for Him. Now there were people who were in the Christian church, in the early church, who were tried, who were put to death. They were tortured and put to death, and they were not delivered from the torture that they were going to be put through. But many in the Old Testament were to give to us the knowledge that God can rescue, and God does rescue. What He rescues us from today is that of sin. What more could we ask? We're powerless to take our sins away, but God is not. We are powerless against the enemy of sin to defeat it or to remove it from us, but God is not. So He has done something for us that we cannot do for ourselves, provided the means whereby sin can be removed from our lives. In so doing, He has done the greatest thing for us He could possibly do. We may go through sickness, we may go through trials, we may go through burdens, but all those can be easily bared knowing that we have a home in heaven waiting for us because our sins have been forgiven. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 2, he refers to Jesus here, and he says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. Jesus is the fire to be feared. The fire that Jesus wields is a fire that can either protect those who believe in Him or destroy those who do not. He is like, as the prophet refers Him to, a refiner's fire. A refiner's fire means that metals or minerals are taken and refined and made into useful substance. Gold was dug from the ground. Silver was dug from the ground. Yet in its state was full of rubble and stubble, and full of other types of minerals that was worthless. In order for it to be purified, you had to melt it. In melting it, it would be done in a refiner's fire. Once you melted the gold, and the gold being heavier than other substances, would go to the bottom, and others would float to the top. And then you'd be able to scoop it off or to remove it. And what it would leave you with would be the pure element that you were seeking. 2 Thessalonians, Paul refers to the coming of Jesus in fire in the 1st chapter, verses 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was saved from the fire of Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible tells us that we will be saved from the wrath of God. We're saved from it through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's coming in flaming fire. He's going to take vengeance on those who believe not God and obey not the gospel. Those who have believed in God and have obeyed the gospel, he'll not take any revenge upon. There's none there to take. He will take them home to glory. But his fire will not be quenched. His fire will destroy them, and the Bible tells us that the fire of hell will never burn out, but it will always be there. In Acts 2, 26 and 27, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. When Jesus was crucified, he was put into a tomb. The Bible says that his soul went into hell, and the word hell means Hades, so it means the place of the dead. We know that Jesus went to paradise in the place of the dead, and there his soul was not left, but God pulled it forth from death, and he put it back into the body of Jesus and gave him an immortal body. The Bible says that he would not see corruption, and he did not. In the same fashion as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were called forth from the fire by Nebuchadnezzar, one day we'll be called forth from the tomb by Jesus our Lord. The same as when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he stood there, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus one day will call all of us out of the grave, and we will all come forth. In 1 Peter 1 and 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Yes, we may try gold, it may be found pure, but one day it will perish. It will be destroyed with the rest of this world. We, on the other hand, our faith is something that will survive this world. It will survive all things that this world can throw at it. It's the most powerful thing that we can have on our side is our faith that we have in God. It will carry us through the hard times. It will carry us through the bad times, the sad times. It will carry us through life's struggles and trials, up and down, whatever may be. But faith is much more precious than gold, even though it be tried by the fires of life. Zechariah says in 13 and 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say it is my people, and they shall say the Lord is my God. God says he will try his people. The same way in which Abraham was tested when he was asked to go and to sacrifice his son, there are tests that we will go through. There are trials that we will go through. Yet it is our faith that must carry us through. It was the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that carried them through the fire that Nebuchadnezzar had kindled. It was their faith that rescued them. It was God who gave them the deliverance because of the faith that they had in him. The psalmist says in the 12th Psalm, the 6th verse, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. God's word is pure. It's like tried silver. So if his word be in us, if it be in our hearts, and it be in our minds, then will we not be pure as well? Pure is a word that means unmingled. If God's word dwells in us unmingled from the rest of the world, then will we not be pure as the word has made us pure? If the word is pure, it's because it has been tried. We are pure, it's because we have been tried as well. Psalm 68, 8 through 10. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. We will be tried in this life. We will go through these things. But do we have the faith and the strength to get us through? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a story to increase our faith. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can we not listen to a story of these men, and our faith as well not be increased? How can we hear how that they stood up to the most powerful king in the world at that time? How can we not hear how that they would not bow down and worship a false idol? How can we hear that they said whether God would deliver them or not, they could not tell, but still they would not worship the false idol? How can we not hear that? How can we not hear of them being cast bound into a furnace of fire and then find that one, like the Son of God, is in there rescuing them and keeping them from it. This shows us that whatever trials we go through, Jesus is with us. And how can we hear those things and our faith not be increased? The same as Jesus was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He will be with us. The same as He quenched the fire and protected them so that they would not be hurt, He has not promised us that we would not be hurt from man or this life, but He has promised to rescue us from any wrath that God would have against sinners by removing our sin. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." There be one this evening. Won't you come while we stand and sing?